And my thought was this: when does a cold glass of water really quench your thirst? Yeah, I was thinking of a hot day, and what came to me was a day when I had been bucking hay for my employer, Lloyd Paradis. He had a cattle farm, and he did a bunch of hay, and I bucked hay for him, and it was a hot day, of course, summer, hot day, and I'd been sweating, and we stopped, and all I could think about was that cold cup of water that I had. And when I drank it, matter of fact, even before I got to my lips, I began to satisfy me just because I knew what it was going to taste like. It was going to be so cold, and it was going to be so refreshing. I'm going to leave that here for us to consider what satisfies us. This past week, I considered about what I wanted to say to lead us into communion. And as I began to consider that, I began to consider the fact that Christ satisfies. Now, would you agree with me? And I kind of figured that you would agree with me that Christ satisfies. Can I just have my slides up here? And I, as I sat on that, I thought, yes, Christ does satisfy. Jesus satisfies. And then I began to think about, well, there are times in my life when I'm not allowing him to satisfy me. I'm actually looking for something else to satisfy me. And I then began to think about, well, where are we reading that Jesus says that he satisfies, that he is the one who satisfies? And I came back to the story of the woman at the well. Back to water. Water. And that's where I want us to journey today, is I want us to journey the living springs and not a cistern, a cracked well, a stagnant pool. For us to be able to move into communion today and to consider that. I actually thought that as I read through this story of John 4, as I read through this story, I read and I thought, you know, I don't know if this woman even knew how much she was thirsty. And I actually think as you read through the story, Jesus does such a masterful job of bringing her to a place of realizing that she is thirsty, not for the things of the world, but for something spiritual. It's really masterful. We're not going to be able to get into all of it, but I wanted to look at John 4, 13 to 14 specifically. And so... Here are these verses. And again, if you have your Bibles, best place to look at is in your Bibles. It's going to be up here for us. But Jesus says to her, because he asked her for a drink, right? He says, can you give me a drink? And she says, listen, two things here. You're a guy and I shouldn't be giving you water. And two, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. And this doesn't just jive with me. I don't quite get this. And so Jesus says to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. So meaning the well that she is taking from, that's how she's reading it. But whoever drinks of the water I will give them will never be thirsty again. The water I will give him or them, will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So this is his premise. This is what he's saying. And he is actually moving her from this well that she's come to draw water from to something greater inside of her, which is her spirit. Her spirit. So just briefly, I want to look at a couple of things here in these verses. First, he says, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. Jesus is moving her to see that anything in this world, he is trying to move her away from what is tangible here to the spiritual side, but he's using the tangible, he's using this well. He says, anybody who drinks of this well will thirst again. And so if we move it away just from the water, okay, just this water that's here, but we look at it in the realm of the world and the thirst we have that we want to try to quench, I think is really where he is taking her and we need to go. And the things of this world which we are desiring is this, worth. You think about the many things you choose to do, the things you pursue, the things that you want to grab hold of, it comes to the place that you want to have worth. Again, when we talk to somebody and we say, you know, if you're a working person, we say, well, you know, what is the thing we have? Well, what do you do for work? We identify ourselves by what we do for work. Or identify ourselves by if we're married or we're not. Or identify ourselves if we're retired or we're not. Or what you're doing when you're retiring. There's so many things in which we will put there and we desire to have this identity. Another aspect is the ache for belonging. We desire to belong. Belong to something which gives us identity of who we are. So we may say that we belong to this group or we belong to this club. But we have this hunger, this desire, and we go to the well of wanting to belong, and we ache for it. Another one is to be seen. We want to be seen. And there is nothing better than when somebody that you maybe don't really know, and they say to you, hello, how are you, Tony? Now, Tony makes it really easy, because if you ever meet Tony, he will tell you that the way you can remember his name is Tony. But when you use somebody's name, you feel like you have been seen, do you not? But there are much in our life in which we will feel like we are not seen. And you just take those three things and you put them into the context of where you are living. You want to feel worthy, you want to belong, and you want to be seen. And this is the well that she is drawing from. This is the well that anything in this world is not going to satisfy. Right? Again, you know, Rockefeller, when asked how much is enough, he said, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. So that is not going to bring us satisfaction. All right, this is taking longer than I thought. Here's the thing, is Jesus is not condemning her. He is diagnosing her. Somebody's knocking. Let them in. He is really saying that this way of living, the way that you are living, is going to guarantee future thirst. That's what he is saying to her. And I think that he frames it in a way which he says, you keep on drinking. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. He actually is saying this is a habitual way in which you are living your life. It's a habit that you keep coming to this well and you keep drinking. Whoever keeps drinking as a habitual action, it's not a sip, it's a pattern. And that's where I want us just to consider for a moment, what patterns do we have in our life that we're going to a well that's not satisfying us? Now listen, I am not denouncing the things of this earth. I like to walk in the woods, and when I do, I find that it restores my soul. As you know, I like to work in my workshop on our work on a wood project, and that rejuvenates me. But when I engage in these things without Christ being the center, I am now being misguided in what they will do for me. So whoever drinks of this water I give them, he says, the next part, will never thirst again. There is something different about what he just said there. And the different part is this. It's that I give them, or I give him. It's not something you earn, it's something that's been given to us. And that's what this table is about. It's about receiving what has been given to us. And then he says, you'll never thirst again, or we'll never thirst forever, is really, if you want to interpret that in exact form, never thirst forever. Do you see he's stacking grammar there? He's wanting us to see there's something greater. It's not just that you'll never thirst. You'll never thirst forever, is what he is saying. The promise is that there's no return to scarcity. The things of this world really will run out. They'll run out. Your car, you'll buy it brand new, and what happens to it after about 10, 20 years? Right? Or you buy a car that's 20 or 30 years old, and what happens to it? Bryce, do you know anything about that? That's scarcity living. That's going to something that's just going to run out. It's going to fade. This right here is just not working the way it used to. It's hard to believe, I know, but it's true. It just begins not to work the way that you think it should. Even though you can think that you're 30 years old or you're 40 years old, and in reality, you're 50, 60, 70 years old, the body still has a way of saying it's just not quite working the way that you want it to. That's scarcity living. And Jesus is saying here that in him, there is no scarcity. It doesn't run out. I can drink and I can drink, and I can drink, and it does two things. It satisfies, and it just doesn't run out. It's just a cup that just never runs out, and the more I drink, the more satisfied I am. That is hard to grasp hold of. That's hard to stay in, because the world and the things in which we do drink will tell us that you just need more and more and more, and you're not living in satisfaction, you're living in scarcity. Because I need the right clothes, I need the right car, I need the right house, I need the right job, I need the right title, I need the, you can put whatever you want in there, but all of that is scarcity. But this right here is not scarcity at all. It's satisfying. So then we come to this other part here. It says, will become. So what this here, this thirst that will never ever run out, the water that I give you will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now, this part of this spring becoming, it becomes a spring in us, a flowing, it's not something in which we're gonna contain. We're not containers, people. Okay? You are not a container. You are just a means for which God can overflow in your life. He wants to give you so much that you cannot contain it. Do you see? He wants to give you so much love that you can't contain it. You have to give it. He wants to give you so much peace, so much grace, so much hope that you can't contain it. It just poof. And matter of fact, it is a gusher. That's what it's saying here. It is a gusher. It is like Old Faithful. Anybody seen Old Faithful? Let me see the people who've seen Old Faithful. Just a few of you? Oh, wow. Okay, well, you can go online now. You can watch it. I've been there before. And, you know, they've got it all timed out when it comes up. And Old Faithful, he gushes up. And it's just like, poof, And this mist comes down upon you. They got you so far away that you're not going to get burnt. But it gushes up between somewhere between 30 to 55 meters. The old school people, that'd be like 100 to 180 feet in the air. That's a lot. Okay, that's what this is saying here. You are to be a gusher. It is not, you are not to contain this. You are to give it. You are to pull it out. Are you gushing? Are you gushing? It's a leaping. It's kinetic. It's alive. It's dynamic is what he is saying. And then he says here, it's eternal life. It's eternal life. You know, this week I had two funerals, one on Friday and one on Saturday. The one on Friday was someone that I knew from Victoria and just a real man of God, loved God, just impacted my life. And hearing as people spoke and talked about him, just unbelievable. The man gushed. He really did. He gushed the love of God wherever he went. The second funeral that I did was somebody that Rod actually put me in contact. He knew them, and they needed some help, and I did this funeral. And this man was an atheist. And he lived his life, and would I say that he gushed? Well, he gushed something of himself, but not eternal. This here is not just about eternal life of what is to come. If you look at that, it's welling up to eternal life. It's not just an eternity of what is to come, but it is an eternity that is present here. Because what we receive, if Jesus Christ is eternal and we receive him, then we can live eternal life today. We live out of the well of love, the well of peace, the well of hope. That is what we are living out of. And if that is God, then it is eternal. Do you see where I'm going with this? So this is what you are gushing is not yourself. As I say, when people interact with me, you know, they'll say something about, well, I really appreciate this about you, Scott. And I hope what they get is what is Christ. It's Jesus, because that's what's going to be eternal. Not me, in the fact that I'm going to fade from this earth to live with God in eternity. But what I want people to receive is Jesus. Is Jesus. So this woman then says this, if you look at verse 15, she says, "Sir, give me this water." Like she's still thinking. She's still thinking the well. She's still thinking the well. But Jesus moves her into the eternal or into the inner part because it's like, whoa, what is he doing here? He just now switches and he says, hey, go get your husband. You kind of ever looked at this and go, what is he doing here? Why is he moving that way? Well, because what is happening, what he wants us to see is there's something deeper in her that she is longing for. And for her, it's in relationships. And he moves her from what is out here to what is in here. And he says, go get your husband. She says, well, I don't have a husband. Yeah, you're right. You're not married right now and you've had five husbands. Again, it wasn't condemnation. It was to bring about realization. You have been going to a well that has not been satisfying you. But I want to give you what satisfies you. And I think that she actually begins to get it. Because what does she do next? She says, well, you've got to be a prophet. And then she says, now listen, where do we worship? Where do we worship? And so you see her moving from, give me this water, give me this literal water, give me this well, to, wait, I want to worship. I really want to worship. And how and where do I worship? And Jesus says, listen, true worship happens when you worship in spirit and in truth. Again, inward. But if we don't go there, then I think what happens is that what we begin to do is we begin to go to those wells and we begin to drink from those wells that do not satisfy us. They are empty. So whether it is wells of being known by the people around us, whether it is back to aspects of addiction, whether that is drugs, alcohol, pornography, whether that is wanting to be liked on our Instagram, TikTok accounts, those are the wells that you and I will go to. But this is the well that he is inviting us to that satisfies, that truly satisfies. So as we come to the communion table, I wanted to stimulate us, not just what Christ has done, but what he is doing. It is not just the life in which we will live forever, but is the life that we're living right now. And that he truly satisfies us right now. So what are you thirsting for on this earth? What are you desiring? Is it a desire for worth, an ache for belonging, a hunger to be seen? Where are you trying to satisfy yourself? Where the wells of this world are empty. Where Christ says, come to me, and I will satisfy you. So coming to the communion table today is coming to say, I want you to satisfy me today, God. It's celebrating where you know you are being satisfied in him. So I want to invite us to come and to be part of that today. So a couple things. The communion table, I'd like to say, is open for anyone who believes that Jesus Christ is their Savior and Lord. You are welcome to come. It is not a matter of being a member of this church or attending this church regularly. It's a matter of whether Jesus is your Savior and your Lord. So that's first. And if that is not where you are at, and you're saying, I recognize I have not been drawing from a well of satisfaction, but dissatisfaction, thinking that I'm going to be satisfied, then today is your opportunity just to say to God, God, I surrender to you. My mind, my will, my body. I repent of doing it my way, and I look to follow your way. Please come. Forgive me of my sins. And I don't know really what all this journey is going to entail or what it means, but I want to begin to follow you today. And if that is you, I want to invite you just to pray that before him in your own words, and come. Come. Coming to the table is not coming perfect. God is not calling us to be perfect. He's just calling us to be surrendered. So I'm going to have the team come back up, and we're going to sing, I think, a new song. Is that right? Yeah. So with a new song, that means it gives you the opportunity to think about it. We're going to sing it again a little bit later as I give another opportunity. But it gives you an opportunity just to think and to meditate. You're welcome to sing. Those that are going to help with communion, I want to invite you to come up at this time as well. And so again, what we're going to do is going to invite you on this side to come first. You're going to slide over this way and receive communion. Same thing on this side. You're going to slide over this way and receive communion. And then I will invite us in the middle to be able to come. And somewhere in the middle here, don't want to divide any families, okay? So you don't have to come out this way, and if you'll go to the farther side of the aisle so that as people receive, they can come back and go this way. And you always in the front, I know it's always a confusion, but you'll figure it out, right? I know, you're smart. You're smart. That's why you sit here, because you're the smartest. So let me do this. Let me pray, and then I will invite. If you are unable to come forward, I will be. I'll be able to come and serve you, and I'll be welcome to do that this morning for you. But let me pray.